Hey, Dave. I got something I want to run by you. You got a minute?
Sure, Mike. What's up?
Well, as you know, the show just recently celebrated its 5-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I guess we probably should have celebrated that somehow on the podcast.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to talk about. So, I was thinking, we've been doing the show for 5 years now with the same theme song, right?
Yeah.
So what if we updated the theme song?
Update the theme song? Well, that's a great idea, Mike. I can't wait to hear what you come up with, man.
Great.
Right after I hear Ryan's new theme song.
Well, sure, that... Wait. What?
Yeah, Ryan actually came to me a little earlier with the same idea.
What?
All set, Dave. Oh, hello, Michael.
Ryan.
So anyway, I think we're all set. I've been uploading the new theme song into Chad's databanks, and I've been tweaking the audio settings for the store speakers so we get the perfect amount of bass.
Ah, you know I love that bass, Ryan. God, you're creative. All right, let's hear what you got, Ryan. Hit me.
Here we go. Chad, pump up the volume, please.
Creepy intro.
Hey kids! In the not too distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans led by the charismatic but oafish leader Dave bring the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Oh, shit.
Guitar solo.
Hey, what the hell? You stole my theme song, you son of a bitch.
Whoa, Mike, calm down, man.
Oh, my singing mouth.
You mean my singing mouth, you damn thief. You stole my damn theme song.
What are you talking about?
My new theme song. You stole it, you worm.
Unrealized theme song, Mike. Unrealized.
I can't believe this. All right. You're right. We both know he will never get that thing on the air.
Well, let me enlighten you people. This baby's got a Dolby Atmos sound mix, AI-assisted vocals, and a collector edition vinyl release. Today, I'm making podcast history. So stick around, because the days of sniffing the dirt are over.
Better than what you sniff? And why are you talking like that anyway?
Oh, shit, we got one!
What? What's going on now?
Chad's found us a new movie to watch for the podcast. Oh, baby, it's gonna be a big one. A B3, possibly B2.
What's a B2?
Second highest box office grosser in a given year. Let's see. What year are we looking at, Chad? Looks like 1996. Oh, yeah. It's a solid B2, all right. Almost 500 million worldwide. All right, Mike, I'm sorry, but we'll have to settle this whole theme song debacle later. For now, why don't you just play your version to lead us into this episode, and we'll decide on which one's better at the end, okay?
I wish I could divorce this podcast.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, bring the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Of Jurassic Park the director of Speed bring you face to face with Twister.
Get out of there! Hurry!
There's no place to run.
Right!
There's nowhere to hide.
Left!
No time to escape.
Right!
Don't think.
It's gonna drop right on us! Find something to grab a hold of!
Don't breathe. And never, ever look back. Twister.
Well, Twister, you guys. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by fellow co-host, Ryan.
Food!
Food! Food! We need sustenance. And Michael.
God, he sucks.
Twister. So I know that Ryan, you have seen this movie. You're an American. Mm-hmm. Mike, had you seen this movie prior to this?
Wow. What a way to ask whether I've seen the movie. I know Michael's. I know Ryan's seen the movie. He's a real American, real man.
A real American hero. With a great theme song, by the way.
Yeah, Dave, I'm not a Republican, so I have not seen. I'm not a real American. I'm a coastal elite who do not have. Yeah, no, I didn't live in Kansas or Oklahoma.
These fancy gadgets, but you got no instincts.
I've never seen Twister, all right? This is the first time I saw it. Is that what you wanted to hear?
I can't believe you made me the Jonas character, because I think this guy really is Jonas.
Oh, my God. Well, just first impressions, Mike?
It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. It was about what I expected, I guess, like, as a fun movie. We'll get to it maybe, but, like, I know before we watched this, Ryan was, like, kind of describing it to me, and he said, like, it was like ILM was like, we can make, like, pretty cool tornadoes now. Let's, like, do that. And make a movie around it, and it feels like they did it. And yeah, it's funny that like this was like I do remember this at the time, and I remember it being a big movie. I remember it being one that.
How come you never saw it?
Oh, damn! The hard hitting questions.
Well, in 1996, I was 7 years old, so yeah. I wasn't really in control of the financial decisions. Like,
well, also you didn't meet the age 13 requirement to see this movie as well.
It's not a requirement, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I couldn't legally have gone.
It's parental
anyway.
Guidance suggested,
right?
Isn't it?
No, that's PG. This is PG-13. There were cops at the door checking your IDs to make sure you.
I saw
were
this
at least...
in theaters and stuff, and I remember getting taken to see this.
Well, I didn't. I wasn't cool enough.
To speak to that real quick. Fun fact about this movie, this was originally shot to be an R-rated movie, supposedly.
Oh, sick. That would have been rad.
It was going to be R for language. Apparently, they had to cut a lot of language, like fucks, from this movie. And I guess, supposedly, the wounds that we see in the movie were supposed to be a lot more brutal.
Should have been R. I think my parents, from what I remember, I don't think they wanted to see it, so I didn't go with them. And I didn't have, like... You know, I don't know. I it just never came up that I saw it. And then by the time I was like deciding movies on my own to see it, I wasn't aware that it was anything like worth going back to.
What was your relationship with tornadoes at the time?
None. which is, you know, maybe if I grew up in Kansas or like Tornado Alley or something, I'd be more interested in it.
I mean, this is the reason why I didn't do that. I think that this is what it made me interested in that, you know, the thrill. You know, like the
well,
thrills?
Okay.
You want to get just like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Extreme! It's the extreme!
Oh, man, don't start that shit.
A manly handshake ensues.
Yeah, was that you at 7 years old seeing the movie? Wait, so okay, that's my history. Did you guys like see it five times in theaters? Is this like the secret movie of your childhood, or like what's the deal with this movie?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how many times I saw it in theaters. Maybe I saw it at least once, but I just remember.
Same.
But I saw it like 100 times on VHS, and I had the soundtrack on CD or tape. I can't remember which one it was. It was just a big deal. Like, okay, like, this is the prime time of, you know, what Scorsese talks about with, like, you know, theme park movies and loved roller coasters and themes. And this is what this movie really was, you know? Big. It was...
He was talking about that in the context of Marvel movies, right?
But yeah, but context of just like kind of movies in general. What this is, and this is what this movie is. It's like Backdraft, the ride, or it's like a Universal Studios. Ride.
Yeah, Backdraft.
This is the same year as Independence Day.
Yeah, and I loved Independence Day, and then,
I almost feel like this is different than Independence Day. Like Independence Day is like reimagining of like a B movie science sci-fi, a very 50s, 60s sci-fi thing.
This too, kind of a little. You know, this feels more like a monster movie.
Yeah, kind of is, but I think like at the end of the day, like this movie is like different. It feels, I would say, more like a Backdraft. It feels more like, I say this positively, like theme park ride. Like it is like, yeah, maybe the monster is the tornado a little bit, but there's a little bit, I don't know. It's a little different than that.
That like F5 is like a villain in the movie. He's the boss.
It picks up like things and throws at him. You know, it reloads with like trackers.
It really does feel to me like it's a movie that is like designed to show off special effects. Like we'll get into it. Like there is no plot to this movie, really.
Yeah, and I was interested. I think that's what made me interested. Really, I don't know why. It's kind of weird because it had been a long time since I'd watched it, and I think it is like, it's now, and I'm like, oh, it is a plotless movie. I was trying to figure out like what did I like about it, but it really is just like there's a thrilling. It was a thrilling movie. Like it just.
I think it mostly like I say that, but like I think that mostly it works. Like I think that it pulls off the plotless movie for the most part with like effects and.
It's like Jaws.
We'll talk about this more. Like maybe like Jaws 2. The sound design on this one is like, I don't want to say like underrated because I don't know really much about the movie, but like I feel like the sound design is almost. As impressive or more impressive than the visual effects. Watching it like modern day. Yeah, like there's some shots here where like the sound design is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Like there's not really much going on if you think about it like on the screen, but the sound design all makes it really compelling.
Supposedly, I guess this was a movie that was notorious for blowing out speaker systems in theaters.
Oh, hell
because
yeah.
Because the surround channels were like so heavy with bass.
I could see that.
Destroying surround sound. Speaker setups in theaters at the time.
I went and after we all watched it, I watched this again in a private setup that Jackie has in the air vents with Dolby Atmos. And
I hear the acoustics in there are just mwah.
Yeah, they're perfect. It's perfect. But it's wild because like parts of the movie are like normal. Like most of the movie is like the dialogue or whatever is like. It's like light surround kind of, but you know, mostly just kind of, I don't
know.
Can
I get two lemonades, please?
Stuff yeah, but like then that. It will be like, it's like the audio equivalent of like watching like a Nolan movie where like, oh, this is the part that's shot for IMAX. Like the sound, like during the tornado parts, all of a sudden it like totally changes. And like, you feel like you're in the shit. Like I've seen some, now that I've, you know, Jackie's had that Atmos set up in the air vents, I've had a chance to see a few things on it and you know, experience Atmos. I was doing finger quotes there. But
Watch movies, but now you're part of the movies.
This was hands down the best, like, sound thing that I've watched or listened to since she's gotten it. Like, it's...
Nice.
It's If you ever get the chance, I would definitely recommend it. It feels like something that you would like show off, like a system or something like that. Like when the tornado's around, like you feel like that there's a tornado around, like there's like a storm going on. It's pretty sick.
It's kind of cool to know because this is that it's still like a home theater or a home video like staple because apparently this was the first movie released on DVD.
Really? The first movie on DVD? I guess maybe, I could imagine like 96 or 97, the first DVD is coming out. Yeah.
And this would be one that you would use as like a reference quality, like check out my sound system, man.
You'd be playing at like Best Buy and stuff.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it was, I think just being like a movie, into the making of movies and just like the thrill of it, you know, like of a blockbuster. That's kind of why I really gravitated to this movie, I think, back in the day. Watched it a lot. Yeah, you too did, didn't you, or something? And that's, it's also definitely. I think it's the characters too that they're there.
That's
it's a color. It's a very memorable cast of people.
What you don't have in plot, you get tenfold in memorable characters. They're goofy characters. Freaking what's his name? Tar's father is in this movie. What's his name?
Todd Field.
Todd Fields is in this movie. He's the guy that goes, it's not a moon, it's a space station. It's like, and obviously it can't be said enough. Philip Seymour Hoffman in this movie is next level amazing.
He's doing something.
The suck zone. It's the point, basically, at which the twister sucks you up. You know, it's not the technical term for it, obviously, but.
Apparently, when he went into audition, he came in wearing clothes basically like what his character wears in the movie. And evidently, Jan de Bont was immediately like, oh, yeah, that's the guy.
That's intense.
All right, move it, Dusty.
That's intense. That's intense.
He is so funny in this movie. And like, I was looking at the trivia before we started. There's a lot of funny trivia facts in this. Apparently, something they had to cut out of the movie from like VHS and DVD releases and whatnot. There's a shot when Dusty, Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, is talking. He's sitting on like this lawn chair.
Great,
and
great, by the way, like great name for this character.
Oh, Dusty. Totally. There's a shot where he's talking to someone, and he's sitting in his lawn chair, and he moves for a second, and he's wearing shorts. You can maybe see where I'm going with this. And apparently there's a shot where his balls are in full view.
What? In the movie?
It was cut from home video releases, but there's a shot.
It was in the theatrical? Like, if you saw it on the
presumably,
big screen?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Maybe this didn't, you know?
Can you imagine being Philip Seymour Hoffman, like, at the premiere? And, like, oh,
they
no.
They say they were visible for a split second.
Oh, my God. That, you know he noticed that. What, like, oh, my God. I would, like, I would just leave. I would leave the movie theater and scrub me from the credits. Just delete me from the movie. This
yeah,
never
like, as
happened.
He's, as he's walking out, like, someone's, like, as he's, like, you know, oh, excuse me, someone's, like, so, Philip, was that the big scene you were talking about to look out for? No!
Class.
But yeah, what this movie lacks in plot, it makes up for in characters. And I mean, to speak to the plot, like, should we get into it? Like, Mike, what did you learn about tornado chasing from this movie?
You're going to blast some Van Halen and ride around in a big van?
Yeah, and you're... you know, your wife who wants to have a job. Ew. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I do like that there's like some pseudoscience stuff going on. Like, I only say pseudoscience because I didn't bother to like actually cross reference if this is real, you know, tornado facts. But,
well, I mean, it was written by Michael Crichton, who is or was a doctor. Okay.
What was he, a doctor of tornadoes? Ben Carson was a doctor, too. Dr. Oz is a doctor.
Yeah, that's a good point. The title doctor doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Well, I do like the Fs. It was the F system, right? The F1, F2, F3. I love that we get that. It reminds me of Pacific Rim, like which I know Pacific Rim is probably just like referencing actual storms or whatever.
Well, I don't think they even mentioned this in this movie, but... Did they mention that the F scale is about damage and not the size of the tornado?
No, it's how much you're fucked. Like you're like a you're fucked one, or like no, this is like you're fucked five times. Yeah. Like it's bad.
Because I always thought, even as a kid, like it's the size of it. Like, oh, they got a thick boy. There must be an F5.
No, Paxton says he's like, it's how much it damages. Okay, like, huh? Okay. And then he goes, eats.
That's right.
How much it eats.
Well, I'm saying this is one of those movies, too, where, like, probably when they're doing their pseudoscience, I'm just, you know, fucking around on a playing Pokemon or something. You know?
I was into it. I was, like, I think, like, one of you said, like, something about the characters, like, and I think, like, in a movie like this where you basically have no plot and it's all just like a special effects fest.
I mean, the plot, we could get into it in 10, I can do it in 10 seconds flat. You got these storm chasers, and they have this thing called Dorothy. It's just basically a box with a bunch of, like, sensor cans in it. They got to drop it off in front of a tornado, hope it sucks it up, and when it does, hopefully it'll give them data that they need to make longer tornado warnings. Done.
you're forgetting, like, the big, like, 90s, very 90s, like, subplot of, like, the guy who's, like, has a wife or that he doesn't Fiance. Like because she has a job. And he wants to get back.
Wait, hold on, hold on. What are you saying? I don't like my future wife because she has a job?
Is that who you're talking about? Or are you talking about...
I mean, that's how it feels.
Like, what, I don't know who you're talking about.
Who's the main character in this movie?
Helen Hunt.
What if the main character is like that guy?
Oh, you think... Oh, you're saying
Bill
Helen
Paxton?
Hunt doesn't
that
like...
That guy?
Helen Bill Hunt Paxton. Doesn't like yeah. Bill Paxton's fiance Jamie Gertz that because guy. She has a job.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what.
No, is it Bill Paxton? There's a whole
I
arc.
Think
is
you
like
need
Bill...
to rewatch the movie. I don't think you got
no,
it.
No, Bill Paxton has his like wife who's like, is it just a fiance who's coming along?
He's trying to get Helen Hunt to sign the divorce papers.
Yeah, married. And he's. But oh right, they're married, but they're not together, and they're like
he's now a weatherman, so he has a job too.
But he has the whole thing of this is the woman that he's with currently.
He's an occupational therapist.
Yes, the occupational is like that's the one that I'm thinking of. It's like a very 90s thing where it's like, ooh, a psychiatrist or whatever. And
yeah.
She's like portrayed as like sucks because she's like on her doing her job or whatever. Meanwhile, like Bill Paxton wants to reconnect with.
I don't think he wants to reconnect, but yeah, it becomes.
He ends up reconnecting with Helen Hunt. Who are like, they're like the two dirt bags,
mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, it's a very 90s dynamic. That's like, oh man, like I guess whatever. I was unclear on what the relationship was. I thought he was married to this other person, but you're
have
right.
You seen
right. There's
the
divorce
sequel Twisters, Mike.
I have not seen the sequel Twisters.
I will say after having seen the Twisters movie and I enjoyed that movie for what it was, but it's startling how much better Twister does all of these plot points over the sequel. Like you really I
oh you
really
mean in the sequel it's done easier better you mean
no well, in the sequel it's done way worse.
Oh, is it? Huh.
I'm confused.
I mean, that movie's fine, but it's just like you really after watching the sequel I really appreciated the character's plots in this movie, like the Paxton Hunt.
It's very
Jamie
cartoony
Gertz. It's cartoony, but like it's there, and I think they do a good job acting it. And again, just comparing it to the sequel, it's like it seems so limp by comparison in those areas.
Well, the fiance, the woman that he's currently dating, is definitely like an audience surrogate, right? Like
yeah,
she's the one who's always like,
yeah. It's funny because it's kind of torn because one part of me is like She's not like a bad person at all.
Not at all. And she gets screwed over in this movie.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
100%. Like, we're definitely supposed to not like her. And she's portrayed as like Angelica Pickle's mom, like, where it's like, oh, man, she like can't stop working and she's doing a dumb job.
But
like,
not to
like he's like embarrassed that she's like, oh, a therapist. Like, it's very 90s. Like, woman shouldn't have jobs.
Helen Hunt's making fun of him for not getting therapy when he thinks he should.
Yeah, so. Maybe, but like the movies, it's like definitely meant to be like a silly job, and she's like a silly, like overworked woman. That is 100% the vibe. Yeah.
Okay. Rabbit, tell me what road we're on. Where does this take us?
I know it feels unnatural, but with Donald's motility, you're not going to have to save the old-fashioned way. Even if you stand on your head.
She's a reproductive therapist. Yeah.
This is definitely that era where, like, if you go see a head shrink, you know,
yeah,
like
yes.
You're a loser.
Yeah, so. Like I was just waiting to be like, yeah, and she loves sushi too.
Oh.
Like, but this woman is like showing up to like chase these damn tornadoes with him while she does have work. Like she doesn't have to do that. She's like juggling all this stuff. I don't know. I was like, I was on her side 100%. I would have been her in like all these scenes. She's the most relatable, which maybe is part of the point too. Maybe because she is kind of like the audience surrogate. I don't know. Yeah.
She has that great line where they're at the dinner table and she's just like, How do you get it into the tornado?
It was just a little weird because, like, I feel like it was one of the, I don't know if it didn't work really, but it was a little messy part of the movie because on the one hand, I feel like she's the most relatable character. But on the other hand, I feel like you're supposed to, like, just kind of sneer at her a little bit, like, and kind of look down on her.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like you said, she's not doing it. Yeah, she's taking some calls, but it's because I got to go with my fiance to go see his ex-wife who won't sign the damn divorce papers. It's been months. What the
Yeah, she
fuck?
Doesn't have to be here at all. Like, she could be just somewhere else and be like, okay, honey, you chase your freaking crazy. She's trying to be supportive of his weird hobby.
She is only shown as being supportive. Like, no, I want to tag along. This is really interesting. You know what I mean? And she says, like, are you okay? Let me get you some lemonades. I'll be right back.
Yeah,
she
and then awesome. It cuts to and then it cuts to like, oh, she's taking a damn call for her dumb therapy job. Like, it's a little weird. It's a little messy.
I like the, you know, the Storm Chaser characters, they're fun. Helen Hunt in particular, you kind of suck a little bit at times.
No, it's fine, though. Like, I think that's okay. Like, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton are both dirtbags, and I do like that they're, like, dirtbags getting back together. They deserve each other. They should be with each other.
How do you think Bill Paxton... Well, doesn't he say, like, that they met at his job as a weatherman, him and Jamie Gertz?
I think so. But I forget how they do mention it because she's like... Because Helen Hunt asks if she works at the station.
She work at the station? Is that where you
Joe,
met her? What?
I don't want to fight.
I'm not fighting. I'm talking.
I don't want to fight.
She's nice.
Ha!
Uh-oh, she's not nice.
I know what you meant.
You do?
Yes. So don't do this.
Okay, I'm making extremely civilized conversation here. You're biting my head off. Jesus.
Yes, she's very nice. No. She does not work at the station. She's a therapist.
Oh!
You used to chase tornadoes?
Yeah.
I just think she gets screwed over. That part towards the end of the movie, at the end of the second act, when the tornado hits the drive-in and they're all running away. It's like, hey, oh, the tornado's going. This is the F5. It's the boss of the movie. It's going to Aunt May's house or whatever. Aunt May. I don't think that's her name. Or is it Aunt May?
It might be Aunt May.
It might be Aunt May.
May? And then they go, May.
Yeah. It's literally Aunt May.
it's Aunt Meg.
Oh, Meg.
That's right. It's Aunt Meg. Okay. The boss of the movie is going to fight kill Aunt Meg. We got to go get her. She's like, I ain't going along. And it's just this moment where I feel so much for Jamie Gertz in this moment where she's like, I know my way home. And she's got we've talked about this before. She has that little lip quiver moment where you're like, oh my God, like, you didn't deserve this. This shouldn't have happened to you. You're a good person.
Yeah, I think it just matters where you're at, because I think as a kid, you're like, well, finally, that freaking ball and chain's out of here. They can finally start chasing these tornadoes. But now I have the total opposite reaction. But like,
yeah,
I think as a kid, you're just like, come on, let them go. Let them chase
them. When are they going to get to the tornado factory?
Yeah. But yeah, it's very 90s. That's like...
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not like awful or anything. It's just it's a little messy.
It's almost like a time capsule piece in a sense, because that very much was a thing at the time. Like everyone likes, you know, thumbing their nose at psychiatry and sushi, as you said. I think you're onto something, Mike. There probably was a cut sushi joke in this movie. But that aside, like, you know, the characters are fun. Especially
there are.
Phillips
should we talk
Hoffman.
About the other characters? So there are other characters. It's basically we're meeting this gang of tornado chasers, and this is one of my favorite angles of the movie. Is like meeting like a subculture, like whether or not it's even real or not. But it reminds me of when we watched the BMX movie with Nicole Kidman. Like just like, oh, there's this BMX group that I'm unaware of or whatever. This is like, okay, there's a group of tornado chasers, and I love, and we get like the rivalries, you know, we get the so like if I zoom out a bit, we're talking about this being like a monster movie. I think this also has the vibe of like a little bit of like an 80s like sports movie or like ski movie or something. Like I'm just picturing what's the John Cusack one?
Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead, yeah. Like there's the vibe of like there's like the rich preppy sports team that has like all the great equipment, or like Bad News Bears, like they got all the great equipment and everything, and we have like the ragtag group of people with like the crappy gear and everything, and we're trying.
Bill Paxton has the tornado sense though.
Yeah, he doesn't have the force, you know,
the instincts.
Yeah, he's like he's got the juice. He's got the juice.
Yeah,
smell a tornado.
It is funny. They do it. It's a great job of like costuming and set and production design. All those like that group of people. You're right. It's almost like these traveling, I don't know, deadheads or something.
You got Philip Seymour Hoffman blasting Eric Clapton all the time in the back. He brings up the rear. You got this other couple, like Todd Fields and this other lady. They got their station wagon, whatever. You got this other guy in his station wagon. What else?
There's Alan Rook is in there.
Alan Rook, Cameron himself is in this movie. He's the rabbit. He's like busting out.
He's
oh,
the map guy, right?
He's the map guy. And it's just like, oh, man, what happened to him with the onset of GPS? Did he lose his job?
What?
What's he doing now?
I don't know. Find this road. It's like Bob's Road.
I gotta wonder, like, if like 10 years from this movie, that is he out of a job?
Oh, because
GPS?
He got replaced by the GPS.
Yeah.
Maybe he's now has like all like supercomputered out. You know, maybe he's still. So they don't have to have that in their own car.
Maybe he's jacked into Harman or Carmen or whatever that thing used to be called. Like Carmen. there's like a tube going into his brain and it's set up into the GPS.
Yeah.
He's Lawnmower Man now. Okay, we're going to take a right in 30 feet. All right, do it.
Yeah, I just remember thinking that them going in the battle like they're in Vietnam with their radios all blasting out the speakers. Was always cool because it is literally that. It's like them going, like.
And isn't Philip Seymour Hoffman driving like a school bus or something,
or like RV or something?
Yeah, something like that. It's an unusual.
It's because
vehicle,
there's that. Yeah,
because
eventually, so the Jamie Gertz character is riding with them, which is really funny.
But they are likable characters, and they do get you through what is otherwise a very plot light movie. And some other character we haven't really mentioned, the 80s, you know, rival in Cary Elwes, rocking like a Southern accent for some reason in this movie, which I really enjoyed. Seeing him with that Southern, or hearing him with that Southern accent was really fun.
My favorite, one of my favorite parts of the movie, and my favorite part about them, but this is like I was like cracking up, is when they're, after we've met them and we know they're like the fancy pants team, there's a scene where they're chasing, I think at this point it's the F3, but maybe it's the F5, I don't know, but there's a scene where they're chasing one of the big tornadoes, and we see like our hero's caravan, and it's a, like you said, like a bunch of ragtag group going into Vietnam. And then it cuts to the other team, and they're all just in like black XUVs. Like they've all a color coordinated their outfits. Like it's so funny that they're like, they're clearly like the rich asshole group. Like it's so funny. It's like,
and they never get close to a tornado. Did you notice that? Like there's never a scene where like, oh, they're going to steal it. I mean, I guess at the end there is like, oh, they might get it, but there's never prior to that.
Like they're going to go and like steal a tornado.
Yeah. It's like, it seems as if they're never even close to possibly getting their version of Dorothy into the air.
Yeah. They suck.
But they have a name for theirs. Remember?
I can't remember.
And dot 3 is the answer. The first digital orthographic telemeter.
Oh, it might have just been called dot.
Oh, yeah.
He like couldn't even come up with a new help me out here. I'm an idiot.
Anagram?
Yes.
It's kind of a cool twist.
I think it's acronym, by the way. I don't
acronym.
Think it's an anagram.
Yeah.
I think
they couldn't even come up with the new ones. Like, we'll just shorten it and call it.
Well,
dot.
Dorothy stands for something, doesn't it? Something. Maybe not.
Oh, if it does, that's a retro acronym. They came up with Dorothy and then tried to direct onboarding reconnaissance of the
Well, that was kind of fun about, and this is a spoiler, I guess, with Twisters, was like, I think the plotting of Twisters is good, I think. And it just that she ends up starting off on the bad guy team, kind of. Or like the.
And she realizes she's on the jock team. Are we the bad guys?
Yeah, it's like she's on the jock storm chasers, basically.
We're all dressed like the Geek Squad.
And so like that was a cool twist on the movie, I thought. Twist. Oh,
what was that, Ryan?
It was a good twist on Twisters.
No, I enjoyed that part too. I think the problem I had with Twisters was like not the plot stuff, but the character stuff and just like how it, you know what I mean? Like I just didn't buy the whole relationship.
Can I jump into something? I haven't seen Twisters, but after seeing this movie, I do have like a huge problem with Twisters, the movie I have not seen.
Yeah, huge problem with it.
Yeah. Okay, so Alien and Aliens, right? Where you add the S and dollar sign of the movie. The whole point of that is there's one alien, an alien, and then Aliens is like, what if we had a bunch of aliens? And so I was ready to go into this movie expecting
one tornado,
a twister. And there's multiple twisters in Twister. You can't dollar sign S, the sequel. It doesn't work.
Hold on. So is it conceivable that the F5 that we see at the end of Twister started as one of the F1 or F2s at the beginning?
Oh, that is some horseshit. There are multiple tornadoes in this movie, Dave. The only way I'll like maybe give you like a semblance of like non-disgust with Twisters is if there is a scene where there are two tornadoes at the same time, like next to each other.
There are in Twister. There's that scene. Remember, they're twins.
We got sisters.
We got sisters.
Oh, it's when the
cows happen.
This movie's garbage. Then Twisters, to be clear, Twister is fine. But you can't do that. You can't.
It's the S. I
kind of follow you, Mike, because Twisters, like after having seen Twister, you would think Twisters would be like, it's going to be like 10 tornadoes at once. You know what I mean?
But I thought going into Twister, we were going to get one tornado. I thought there was going to be like, I was surprised there was
science mumbo jumbo talk and then a tornado appears.
There's probably a tornado every 10 minutes in Twister, probably.
Seriously? Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to Kansas, but I think that might just be what it's like.
Yeah, I think so.
Non-stop tornadoes. Yeah, I don't know. That was just something that I was slowly, the second there was like another tornado in this movie, I was like, wait a minute.
How could they up the ante for this? No, I agree. But and to speak to the tornadoes in this movie, like I think they hold up because I think this is kind of like those movies. What's that?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I think this is one of those movies of the era. This is very early CGI, so they couldn't use it for everything. So they had to use a mix of practical effects and CG. And I think that's always the perfect blend for CG because you get sequences where like shit's flying around, like they're actually dropping like, you know, trucks and stuff onto people. Yeah. They're actually like shooting ice, like for the hail sequence. They're actually doing that.
Oh, wow.
And I think it sells the tornado CG a lot better than if they just relied completely on CGI.
Well, and again, I think I'll go back to the sound design too. Like
that does
much of the heavy lifting. Like there's a couple shots in this movie. This doesn't work well in a podcast format, but like if you were to go back and look at, there's a couple scenes in particular where there's like really where they're kind of like hiding from the tornado, or you know, they're like under the bridge or whatever, where like if you took the sound out, there's kind of like nothing going on, like they're just like standing. It's just two people standing there, but the sound design is doing so much heavy lifting that totally sells that you're like in it and there is a tornado there. And I think that is like you know, maybe something that if CG were better, maybe you're not relying on the whole package as much. So, that is cool. And something with the hailstorm too, something I liked about this is they do a good job of selling, like, it's almost like a supernatural, the tornado being almost like a supernatural thing of like the laws of reality don't apply. Once
where'd
you
it
get
go?
Close to
it
the
disappeared.
Tornado. yeah. It's all like, it's cool. Like they give the tornadoes probably more than they have in real life. Like, they give them like a personality.
Yeah,
almost,
there's like
which,
a
which
there's
cool.
like a tone that comes up later stuff with them,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, I don't know, it's something crazy.
Well, especially when the F5, like the first appearance of the F5, we don't even realize it's the F5 initially. I think is when, or maybe
I think
it's
in the Shining scene.
Yes, I think technically the F5 appears at the drive-in, right? Like, that is the F5, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's almost like, I think part of that, that and that last maybe chunk of the movie is like, this is the same one or something.
Yes! It's the same one to kill my dad! Like, we didn't mention that. The movie opens with Helen Hunt as a kid running into a storm shelter, and her, and this is also inexplicable. It's a crazy scene because it makes no sense. Like, so Helen Hunt, young Helen Hunt, the movie opens, like, she runs into a storm cellar outside with her dad and her mom and her dog Toto, and like they get in the storm shelter, they lock the door. It looks pretty flimsy, granted, but they lock it up, and the storm comes.
I can't hold
it
any longer.
Yeah, I can't hold it anymore. You know, oh my God.
Well, we used to rewind. I was thinking that scene is both scary, and then I think at one point after we had seen it 800 times, we would rewind him getting taken off the hinges. it was like one of those like repeat, like repeating it and laughing.
It is like pacing wise, it reminded me a lot of Jurassic Park, like where you have the
definitely
the beginning scene with the velociraptors. Like, it's like definitely more like horrific than the rest of the movie in a way, but it sets the stakes up nicely.
But it's funny because like the dad goes, like, I understand why he opens the door initially. It's like the dog is still outside. We got to get the dog back in. He's like, get in there. Toby, not Toto. Toby, get in here. He closes it and locks it, and then the door starts to rattle. He's like, I know what I'll do. I'll hold it. And it's like, okay, I guess he's got to hold it in place. But then it seems as if after he gets sucked up that the young Helen Hunt and her mom are totally fine at the back of the storm shelter. So presumably there was no reason for the dad to go hold the
door. It's pretty obvious what happened. The tornado was satiated once he ate the dad.
It was
so he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't
eat.
Yeah, he didn't
it
need
needed
to eat them.
Its sacrifice. And yeah, basically, it's like, I'll come for you later in 30 years.
But yeah, like, I mean, watching that as a kid, it's like a gnarly kind of, you know, like you said, cartoony earlier, but like, it was like,
you need
it's,
that,
like, it's a perfect, yeah, it's a perfect like thrill scene for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just on the edge of like too intense enough for a
yes.
kid. That's where you're getting the PG-13.
Well, and again, it gets back to that sound design. Like, the sound design in that scene is insane, and like they really do give the tornado
a
personality.
Hold it any longer.
Yeah, like apparently, I guess like among the things they use for the tornado sound effects, they like use like they slowed down like a camel sound for the tornado. Like,
oh, I love that.
But they really do give the tornado's personality. And I think the idea of making the F5 the villain of the movie that basically, like you said, like comes back for revenge or something.
That's
like
the tornado from the 70s.
Like, you need, yes, like it's the same tornado that killed
my dad.
It's
got like scars and stuff.
They really do build it up, but I think you need that in a movie like this because otherwise there wouldn't really be a villain. It's just weather.
I mean, the villain is kind of like the preppy team, right?
I guess, but like you need the final boss tornado that comes
back.
They're a
little, they're like antagonists, but not necessarily the villain. Maybe the tornado is the villain.
The tornado is the real villain, and especially like just when they're running away from it at the end, and it keeps pursuing them.
Like I said, it like stops to pick up tractors to throw them. Like,
yes. And I love that the
like
F5
reloads.
I love that the F5 tornado, they say like it's like a half mile long in diameter or something like that. That is massive. Like at the end of the movie, when you see them driving and the camera pans over and you see the tornado, it doesn't look like a funnel anymore. It just looks like a square, like a long, like rectangle. Just like, like it doesn't, it almost doesn't even resemble a tornado anymore. It's
have you seen like what an F5 tornado looks like in real life?
I have not, no.
There's like a, I don't think there's been like a whole lot of them. I mean, there's been like several dozen, I think, but, yeah. If you, I'll share here in the chat, if I can figure out how, yeah, click on that. I mean, if everyone at home can, go to Chattopedia and just put in like F5 tornado, the first page at the, or on Wikipedia, Chattopedia.
Oh, wow, okay.
Me. Like that, so, that image is like, it just looks like,
it does just kind of look like a giant block.
Yeah. It's like a blob of wind.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's gnarly. It's gnarly stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, not really cool, but scary.
No, it's cool.
I mean,
nature, man.
The poster for this movie was always so good too, and like,
oh yeah,
and it's very an ominous poster. I feel like it's very also old school monster movie. I think a little bit.
Well, it's like the only thing the tornado is missing in the poster for Twister is like eyes and a mouth. It's like, <"Rawr." laughs>
I'm curious, like how this did internationally, because like I'm pretty sure. Again, I'm not a tornado expert, but I'm pretty sure like tornadoes are mostly like, I don't know if a lot of other countries have tornadoes. Like I think it's like a thing in the American plains because it's so like uniquely flat with the Gulf Stream and everything. Like, you know, I'm looking at this F5 list. It's mostly America that it's in. There's a couple, like I see one in France or something, but it's almost all America. So like, I'm curious, like
they both about 250 in both domestic and international. So
interesting. Almost 500. Yeah. Cause it's like kind of an exotic, I would imagine, like the idea of a tornado. If I didn't live in America, I imagine the idea of a tornado is like weird. Like, oh.
Yeah, like those exist?
Well, yeah, like it's a kind of an insane thing.
It's the kind of movie that would translate, though, I think, like any.
Yeah.
You know, there's not.
I think like Mad Max, you could watch this without dialogue. And like you get that like the preppy jerks are the preppy jerks. And like you get Philip Seymour Hoffman as fun. And you get that, you know. The tornado killed her dad and is out for revenge.
Well, I mean, she's out. I guess technically she's out for revenge.
She's out for revenge, and the tornado is going to kill again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically like the shark in Jaws, kind of. It's like, it's not like, you know, technically the tornado or the shark isn't like, you know, malicious. It's just like kind of nature, you know what I mean? But from Helen Hunt's perspective,
I mean, didn't
it's
you see
like,
it?
It like, killed my dad!
They had it in that, which is probably one of the coolest. Like, this is like the first thing they probably came up with, or Jean DeBont?
I think it's Jean DeBont.
When he was probably concepting ideas of having the tornado projected, Jack Torrance projected onto the tornado, was probably this first idea, you know, and that's telling it all, you know, it's bloodthirsty.
You know, it's that whole sequence you mentioned, the Shining sequence when they're at the drive-in and the Shining is playing on the drive-in theater. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, sometimes with like when a movie will have another movie playing inside of it, it could be weird or like it takes you out. But like in this movie, when the Twister is like destroying the screen and it's like you see, it's the image of Jack Nicholson's face in the door. Like, here's Johnny. Like. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it plays on several levels. The tornado is Johnny in this moment. The tornado is Jack Torrance, like, here I am. You know, but, like, the way that I don't know. It works in this movie for me. Sometimes
I think it's the first time I saw
The
Shining was probably watching Twister, you know?
Watching Twister.
See? It's okay. You saw it on the television.
This movie could have used, like The Shining, where you have like Jack Torrance like just standing there like alone brooding. We should have got a shot of the tornado alone in a field like brooding.
It's the shot from Halloween where it's like it's a tornado standing in a bunch of laundry. It's the, you know, it's the laundry's all blowing in the wind and the tornado's just standing there.
That's pretty funny.
Oh my god, I now want scenes of the tornado stalking Helen Hunt like Michael Myers, just standing behind trees, just looking at her.
Remember, it's like Aunt Meg has the little, that's where they get the idea for to give Dorothy some propellers. because she has all the metal artwork on her lawn. And it's like,
which I'm sure her neighbors love.
She's like on a farm. She's like far away, kind of.
That's true. That's true.
They're on like two acres, you know, or something.
I do love all of her weather equipment.
But I'm saying
stuff,
like that maybe like the Twister charming. Is like watching those and just like I'm gonna kill her. Those,
those metal gonna rods. Slice you up.
There's a good. They do a fun, and they keep spoiling Twisters, but they do a fun thing with the movies too, and that also.
Do they do another like drive-in scene? Like, is it?
No, it's like a regular theater, but they do a good. It's I think really puts home the monster movie stuff. And
yeah, I mean, I was putting down Twisters earlier. Like, I enjoyed the movie. Like, it's a fun B movie. Like,
I think we got to watch it. I think we need to watch it for the show after.
I don't know. Like, it was a fine enough movie. I just don't think it just feels like a letdown after watching this movie because I didn't feel the danger as much with the Twisters in Twisters as I did in this movie. Again, I think the problem is the Twisters don't have a personality in the sequel like they do in this movie.
They should have had more. Now with CG, they should have had more of a personality.
They're more realistic, which is bad. I think you need to make them an actual villain. In fact, I feel like the Twisters and Twisters
look too good. Is what you're saying?
They look fine. They almost feel like an afterthought. Like I just never felt the sense of danger in that movie as I do in this first one.
What about the sound design? How is the sound design?
No, sound design is great, and visually, I think the Twisters look good. I mean, you know. They do some fun things.
I would say it's. This movie has probably a little bit of the nostalgia attached to it, and also there's so many good actors and characters and stuff.
That's the thing.
But
yeah.
It's like they're kind of like the same level for me in a weird way. Like watching this now with like a new lens and stuff. Like I don't think it's much better. Like.
I think it's 10 times better. I'm saying that, like, I'm not saying that Twisters is like a piece of shit. Like, I enjoyed the movie. It was a fun theater experience, but it's just like, I don't know. I just didn't get the same sense of danger from the tornadoes as I did in the first movie. And I think a big part of that is like, they have no personality in the scene. That sounds like a silly thing to say, but really, I think that's what helps sell the danger in the first movie is that the tornadoes feel like
they need a funny hat or something.
You know, it's almost like the tornadoes were another character in the movie. And also, there were some goofy things about the sequel where it's just like, and honestly, this kind of was kind of a benefit because it made me laugh. But like, there's so many scenes in the sequel where it's the people like, we got to go ward those people, and that's like,
oh yeah, there's like superhero stuff.
They're like superheroes, and it's like there's two of you in a truck, and you're gonna go warn an entire town that a tornado's coming, a town in Oklahoma in the heart of Tornado Alley. Like, hey, there's tornadoes exist and they're coming. Like, yeah, we get it. And like, it's such a stark difference because you see, evidently people have to be told to go seek shelter from tornadoes in the sequel. Whereas in the first movie, they're in the same basic area, but there's no one around. And you know why? Because there's fucking tornadoes. It's Oklahoma. It's like, yeah, we get it. We have storage shelters for a reason. You don't need to tell us that a tornado is dangerous. That said, again, like Twisters is a fine movie. I would say Twisters is like the epitome of a popcorn movie. And honestly, Twister as well. Like the epitome of a popcorn movie, as we said, very little plot. What you get are good characters, some really fun visuals, some good thrills. And you're just, it's time to munch the popcorn, baby. Mm-hmm. Like it's not one of those movies where you're like, oh, like I get self-conscious.
It was definitely one of those movies where when we were watching it, I was just sitting there watching it, and as it started playing, a bowl of popcorn just materialized
in front of you. And what I love about this movie is like, unlike a lot of other movies where I get self-conscious, like in a theater, like, oh, it's a quiet scene. I probably shouldn't eat as much popcorn. I don't want to be chewing and making noise. This is a movie where it's like, don't worry, popcorn eaters. We got you covered. You can eat popcorn pretty much through 99% of this movie.
Yeah, that sound of the tornado really covers up the munching. Feel free to open that bag of candy with the plastic. No one's going to be bothered. No one will notice.
And it's the epitome of a popcorn movie in that sense, and I love it for that. And again, I don't want to make it sound like I hated Twisters. I thought it was a fine movie. It was fun, but it does not hold a candle to the original, in my opinion.
I did like, you know, I guess I have nostalgia from the 90s in general, and this is a very 90s movie, but that aside, this is my first viewing. I didn't like think it's amazing or anything, but I think it's good. Like, I think it's a fun, good movie. Like, I think this is like, it feels like a, it seems like a funny thing to say for a movie like this, 'cause it's like objectively dumb, but it feels very like unique. Like, I feel like, I can't think of, I'm sure there's like probably other movies like this, but it's like, it's hard to think of exactly like another one like this where it is, it really is like a special effects movie, but in like a positive way, I'd say.
I think Marty nailed it. This is an amusement park ride, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's just not going to be a whole lot of substance that you get from it. It's just a thrill ride.
But
you know?
this is better than a Marvel movie. Yeah, like,
no,
Marty
no,
was
I said an amusement park ride. Yeah. It's a thrill ride.
But he was talking about.
That's all that was been putting out there. No one's going to die and stuff. But that was just like, but he's referencing, I think, movies like this also.
Yeah. And from what I recall from that interview where he gave the first one, like, I didn't sense any, like, fuck Marvel movies from Martin Scorsese. He's just like, it's just not what I go to the movies for. Like, there's not, like, I got the sense that he was saying, like, there's nothing wrong with Marvel movies or movies like that. It's just not what I go to the movies for. And everyone was like, well, fuck you, Marty. It led to this whole thing, and it's just like.
Not everyone, Dave. Not everyone.
But it's, you know, I get where he's coming from. Like, you know, like, movies
it's
like
it's
this
It's interesting,
have
though,
place.
Like, I feel like this is so different than, like, you know, 2020s Marvel or, you know, superhero stuff, like, or franchise stuff, even. Like, this feels like, I mean, it did have a sequel eventually, but, like, this is, like, an era of the blockbuster, big budget, special effects, like fun popcorn thing that isn't like based off. I mean, maybe there's a book here. I don't know if it's based off a book, but it's certainly not like a big franchise or anything like that. If it's adapted from a book, it's not like it's adapted from like, you know, Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or something. And that's that feels like a different era of like blockbusters to me, like, and something that maybe I am like nostalgic for, of just like the. Even Independence Day, I would put Independence Day in that camp of just like this, like, we're going to spend so much money on this thing that is not like a IP. It's not a franchise. Yeah. It's not any sort of tested, you know, property or anything like that. It's just a, what if there were tornadoes? Like, it's an idea. It's an idea that they're throwing money at. Even if it's a dumb, silly idea, like, that's a big difference, I think, is like spending the money behind like a cool idea for a movie versus what will like be franchisable and what's like a commercial IP or, you know, like it's I'm sure this was cynical back in the day, and I'm sure it was like people will love tornadoes and it's commercial and all that, but like it just feels like more on, it feels more like we're the Philip Seymour Hoffman character kind of vibe and not so much the rich asshole vibe, what some of the like modern Disney stuff feels like.
No, I feel you. It's them putting, like, let's make one good movie. We're not worrying about making a whole, you know,
there's
universe.
No Twister cinematic universe. I mean, maybe there is now.
Like, let's put everything we can into this movie. Let's come up with all the cool ideas we can think of and put them in this movie, and that'll be it. That's it.
There's not a Max miniseries following one of the characters on how they built Dorothy or something.
No, yeah.
A mobile game where you can, like... Trade Twisters and buy Twister packs.
Well, slight correction. There was a pinball table made on this movie, and it is a cool table.
Oh, you can't compare pinball table to mobile free-to-play game. Yeah, there's a pinball table made by Sega. Dave, you correct me if I'm wrong, but... You know, Sega, the video game company, their pinball division was what went on to become what eventually was Stern, right?
Like, I'm not exactly sure that – I'm not actually sure if Stern bought Sega or what, or if they came from Sega, but I know they're linked to Sega in some way.
Yeah, I know it's that, like – company or
well,
like
because
that.
Stern existed prior to Sega coming out with pinball tables, so I'm not exactly sure how that developed, but
and I know like that's like a big reason why, like, because those Sega tables in the 90s, they were all like
movies.
It was all well and it was all like existing things, like, right, because so much of pinball was like Medieval Madness or Attack from Mars, just like you know, original idea, or Taxi or whatever, original ideas. But like the Sega at that time was like, let's do like movies and stuff. And the Stern, what it would go on to do, like their big thing is franchising, right? Like Jaws or Godzilla or, you know, whatever, but like Deadpool. And it's cool to see that, like that lineage, I guess. Like it seems like they probably have like connects with like Hollywood people or whatever to get those licenses.
I appreciate that you brought up pinball, but we probably did hemorrhage a lot of listeners in that last 3 minutes talking about pinball.
I think we lost Ryan.
Yeah, he got sucked up into the suck zone.
I don't know if I've ever played this pinball table, though.
It's a fun table. It's got one, just to close off pinball chat, it's got a little, one of those spinny discs in the center that'll, like, shoot the pinball in different directions.
Oh, yeah, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles thing that's like the pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Anyway, we just lost our third ball. That's it for pinball chat. But getting back to Twister, any final thoughts on Twister?
No, I mean, it was, like I said, it's probably not much to grasp on today, you know, maybe. But you think you're right. That just the special effects extravaganza, there's not too many like that. I mean, this definitely set up a 10 years of disaster movies, I would say, probably, after the fact. But it's kind of a fun sort of monster-y movie, old school, with it's a lot of colorful characters and great actors and people that went on to do tons of stuff. And but there's not much. You're right. There's not much to it, I think, as to grasp onto. Like, it's a hard one to recommend these days, I think. But
oh, what?
No. I mean,
easy recommend.
No, I know. I mean, just for like, I don't know, for like anybody to watch. I don't know if I would, but.
This is like the most broad movie you can get.
I think I'm in between you guys. Like, I feel like I know we've talked about the term 3-star masterpiece, and this is definitely a 3-star masterpiece.
Yeah, I think
for
so.
Me.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's like, I would recommend this to anyone if they're looking for a movie to like veg out on the weekend and like watch some popcorn or something, or veg out on a weeknight. Like, it's not.
I just can't imagine not seeing this before. That's a thing. Like, maybe that's my. That's kind of maybe where I'm at with it.
Just angry at me about it.
I'm not even angry. I'm just like, I just can't. It's like unfeasible, you know? Just can't even. Like, I'm.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen it now.
Okay. You know, I wholeheartedly would recommend it, but I think you're right, Mike. This probably is it's the epitome of a popcorn movie and a 3-star masterpiece. Like, this is not Citizen Kane that you're watching. This is just an amusement park ride. It's a thrill ride. It's fun. There's very little plot. Don't think too much about it. And you'll have a good time. But actually, I did have one last note to close us out. I think it's funny. So one of the big things, like, you got these two rival storm chasers, the you know, the dusty dirtbags and the Cary Elwes and the Geek Squad.
Cary Elwes is like friend. His buddy gets fucking.
Oh my god, that scene is so gnarly.
Yeah. But
Bill Paxton's trying to talk to him on the CB, like, hey, dude, the tornado's gonna. Go, turn directions. You got to get out of there. And I feel so bad for this guy because he's like, maybe we should do what he says. I don't think he would try to lead us into harm's way. And the guy gets a freaking like beam through his skull.
He gets Final Destination.
He does. He does. And then the entire truck gets lifted up and they explode.
Oh man, I forgot about the explosion after that. That was funny. That was like, because like nothing else that really explodes, but like that car is like
that,
it's definitely
guy,
like the James Bond thing where like if the car falls off the cliff, it's gonna blow up.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't mention the scene when they drive through a house.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
Cows.
There's a lot
we
of cool
the cows.
The cows, like,
that's what I remember from like not seeing the movie. I remember like I feel like there was probably ads.
It was in the trailer.
Was there ever? I don't remember this specifically, but this feels like it should exist. Was there ever like a Got Milk ad where like the cow is spinning in the tornado? Like,
there had to have been, right?
I don't know. I'm just like, I don't even remember this. It just feels like a thing that should have existed.
But you're right. The cows line is the thing that like permeated pop culture and stuck. Like, we got cows. Like, that's the thing that everyone knows from this movie. Even Mike knew it before he saw the movie. We got cows.
Cow. I gotta go, Julia. We got cows. Another cow.
Actually, I think that was the same one.
But I wanted to bring something up. You have these two rival storm chaser factions, and each one is just like, you know, oh man, we're going to be so rich, we're going to be so famous. And I'm like, are you going to be famous or are you going to be weather famous? Like, there's two levels of fame here. It's like, really? Are you really going to be that popular?
We're going to increase our mathematical knowledge of the inside vector of a tornado. You know, aren't you going to put posters of that in your locker room?
It's like, considering how little a shit anyone cares about people like NASA or organizations like that, I don't get the sense that people are going to give a shit about these tornado chasers.
In your dorm room, you got, you know, Pulp Fiction, Bruce Springsteen maybe or something, and then the team
and then
that...
Bill Paxton's character.
Yeah, Bill Paxton's character who increased our understanding of the wind velocities of a tornado.
You don't know that guy? That's Bill, man. He increased tornado awareness from 3 minutes, the warning system, 3 minutes to 15 minutes, man.
That's actually one thing, too. They should name more characters just the actor's first name.
Yeah.
They should. Well, he's Bill.
I think my favorite instance of that is any Jackie Chan movie where his name is Ducky.
Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise should definitely be named Tom. Mm-hmm.
Just Tom.
What's his name? What's his Hunt? Ethan Hunt. Yeah, it should be Tom. It should be Tom Hunt.
Tom Hunt.
Tom Hunt.
Like that. That's what I think it works for things like that, where like movie stars who are like movie stars who are very much like, kind of just, you know, it's Tom Cruise, right? Like he's playing Tom Cruise, like you know, that works. Bill Paxton is Bill Paxton.
Tom Hunt can be the clone that the entity makes to fight Ethan Hunt in the next Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
The entity.
Well, anywho, that was Twister, folks. And speaking of rival factions, Ryan, I hate to do this, but I think I gotta go with Mike actually for the theme song. It's pretty clear you stole it. your narration at the top was a little lacking, I thought.
That's okay. I got freaking spiked by a antenna and blew up.
Yeah, also deserved.
It's also the fact you're dead now. That doesn't. Mike is still alive and you're dead.
Yeah, we've been recording this while Ryan has been impaled. We really should have gone to the Bartertown doctor.
He's been clinging to life and he just passed.
We had to get the Twister podcast done.
Should have listened to Bill.
We'll take you to Bartertown. We can either go to the hospital and get some medical attention or the Black Wizard and get you revived with dark blood magic.
Perfect.
They have a full suite of services over at the Bartertown Clinic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You may come back evil for a little while, but hey, it's cheaper than going to the hospital. So.
Sounds good.
But that'll do it for this episode, folks. We got another Twister coming in, F4, possibly F5. We're going to check that out. But that'll do it for this episode of Apocalypse Video. We have a new theme song, you guys. We're entering a new era.
Wow. And what a theme song.
And what a theme song. Wow. Let's play us out. And one thing, Mike, I was going to say, can this possibly get a Dolby Atmos mix in the future? Maybe?
Yeah.
I'll take that as a no. Okay. All right, we're still stuck in 5 channels, but maybe someday we'll get up to 11.
I can give you 5, but I can't do 5.1.
Oh, man, we need that subwoofer. Well, let's have our new theme song play us out. So long, folks. 5 years, new theme song. We'll be back in another 5 years with another new theme song. But until then, the audience is listening.
How do you get it in the tornado?
Well, you got to get in front of the tornado and put it in the damage path, and then get out again before it picks you up, too.
It sucks up.